Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
When we're feeling sad, many of us reach for comfort foods, you know, chocolate, ice cream, chips. I'm kind of the salty person, you know, that's what I reach for. What do you reach for comfort food-wise? And when you reach for that, is that comfort food really comforting you? Or can it actually kind of unboost your mood and make you feel worse than you did before, besides the calories that you just took in, which all of us know how that feels? Besides that, does it make you feel better? Actually, chemically, physically better. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Sacek. She's Associate Professor of Nutrition at the Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy at Tufts University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sacek. So tell us about foods that are supposedly comfort foods, macaroni and cheese, ice cream, chips, chocolate, things that make us feel like I'm just going to sit here and eat this. And then in reality, do they work?
Right. I think it's on two levels. To think about first, the things, you know, sugar, let's take sugar. For a lot of us, that could be in chocolate, ice cream, you know, any of the sweets, donuts. You know, I think a lot of people might turn to sugar as comfort food. Some people are salty, some people are sugar, but let's take sugar into consideration here. So just like salt, people adapt to a high level of sugar in their diet and what makes them feel good after they consume it. And we know if you and I sat down right now, we were high sugar consumers, we'd eat it and, you know, our brain, if you put electrodes on our brain, it would go off like gangbusters. It's making us really happy. So yes, it might make you feel good in that short term, but interesting studies have shown if you wean off the sugar, which could be healthier, obviously, in the longer term, you know, and you take the sugar away, if you sat down and fed us some donuts, you know, a couple months later after weaning off, our brain doesn't respond in the same way. It's not as happy. So my point there is something that might make you feel good right now, you could wean off that and make the change for the better in the long haul. But another thing that you want to keep in mind about sugar is that it's a quick fix, right? You take it in, your blood sugar spikes, which makes you feel great for a short period of time. And then what happens in response is insulin floods out into your bloodstream, and the job of insulin is to basically suck the sugar out of your blood so it's in this nice range it's supposed to be in, but usually it takes too much out, so then you result in the sugar low. And what that makes you feel like an hour or two later is pretty crummy, and then you reach for the sugar again, and then you realize you've just eaten, you know, 500, 600 calories worth of junk, and then you feel terrible. So it's a quick fix and something that we kind of need to stay away from.
So, Jen, I had read a study about that was done in the Journal of Clinical Investigation about fatty acids and their relation to mood, and to so the people that were eating things that had fatty acids in them reported feeling just half as sad as those who received the placebo saline, and they were watching sad videos and whatever, and then they ate things. So what is fatty acids? What are they in, and can they really pick us up a little bit?
You know, so fats are, you know, healthy fats can be in an avocado, or they can be in a slab of beef, or they can be in French fries. And it's interesting because the fatty acids, there is something biologically there that might explain their findings. Similarly, when we exercise, you know, our fatty acids in our bloodstream increase sort of transiently. Like we start exercising and they're released into the bloodstream for fuel. Similarly to like eating a donut, which is different, or, you know, a slab of beef with high in fatty acids, that goes into our bloodstream. So if you take that into consideration, the fatty acids actually bind to something in the circulation that actually cross the blood-brain barrier. And that actually, when that happens, it actually can block the uptake of branched-chain amino acids, which are basically carried across the blood-brain barrier by the same transporter. Those fatty acids actually help release serotonin and result in, you know, feeling happy, but also results in fatigue. If you think about a warm, fuzzy blanket, that's how those fatty acids actually are treating the brain. It feels good, but it also makes you a little bit tired. So I'd say if you sort of shift that balance, and this is also how it ties into exercise, why some people think you get tired after exercising for a long period of time, because those fatty acids might be contributing to what they call central fatigue. And that central fatigue can result from eating foods high in fats, basically, the same way exercising for a long period of time might make you feel centrally fatigued.
So basically, we're coming down to the fact that some comfort foods that will contain that fatty acid might actually raise your serotonin levels, make you feel just a little bit better, give you that little sort of boost, that satisfying feeling. But yet, if you're eating them in the form of junk, then the extra calories and the too much fat can do just the opposite in bringing them down. They say dark chocolate can really be a mood booster, or can really, plus chocolate is a comfort food as well.
Yes, and I think that, you know, it goes on both levels. Something that makes you feel really good might also make you feel really relaxed. So that also, you know, can tip over to fatigue, right? Especially because it has the high sugar value where you get the sugar crash. But like chocolate also has a little bit of caffeine in it. It has antioxidants. It has some good things in it, not just bad fats. So it's a nice combination where it might, you know, really hit the, you know, sorry to say, the sweet spot where you're not tipped over the edge and feeling awful after the fact, especially if you don't eat too much.
That's the key, really, right there, what you just said.
Yeah.
You can't eat
too much. Do not want to eat too much. Yeah, and I think,
if you eat too much of any of these comfort foods, then you're going to feel like crap afterwards anyway, because you're going to be like, okay, even though that was healthier for me, I just ingested all those wasted calories right there.
Exactly. And I think people, if they slow down, taste their food, get the nice mental boost or energy boost from whatever they're consuming that they enjoy a lot, you know, then they're not going to overconsume and they'll maintain the pleasure level and they won't get into the sort of vicious cycle of the negative eating patterns.
So what about our smart carbohydrates, things that can help boost our mood and energy level? In, you know, because like you said, carbs, ooh, bad. You said it in a previous segment and everybody, you know, people have been saying that. It's like, God, they're so scared. But carbohydrates are basic essential to our life. And they're not bad. And vegetables, by the way, are carbohydrates. People don't realize that.
Thank you.
They think, you know, well, they think white bread and pasta and carbs are so bad. Well, yeah, but so is brown rice and sweet potatoes and a tomato. Is a carbohydrate. So speak about the good carbs that can help boost our mood.
Right. I think that what people have to understand is, first and foremost, carbohydrates fuel our central nervous system and they fuel our muscles. If we don't have carbohydrates in our diet, we have a really hard time maintaining blood sugar levels that allow for optimal cognitive functioning and for optimal levels of physical activity. We get depleted in our muscle glycogen or our liver glycogen. That is basically a result of not having enough carbohydrate intake. And you can get great carbohydrate sources from things that are high in fiber, the whole grains that you mentioned, you know, beans, legumes, you know, fruits and vegetables. You know, this is where you eat the carbohydrates and it's so high in fiber, so nutrient dense, it takes a longer time to digest so that you're not having that huge sugar spike and fall. And it really is going to maintain, you know, a consistent, you know, optimally functioning working pattern throughout the day. People just cannot squeeze carbohydrates entirely out of the diet. If you read any of the literature on, you know, having a high protein diet and losing weight, well, none of these books or studies really have looked at, look, you need carbohydrates, you know, on top of that if you're going to exercise. And we know how important exercise is for health and, you know, cognitive functioning too. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win, and I'll tell you what, Jen, I've argued with doctors and way up high medical professionals about that carb versus all protein diet thing. And when you've got your opinion set, you do. But you are absolutely right. And it is moderation, picking the smart choices. So those comfort foods may not always be more comforting, but if you're eating the right type of comfort foods, some of them actually may help you. You know, those fatty acids and dark chocolate and good quality fish oils, those are good for you. You're listening to Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine right here on the award-winning Radio MD. Thanks so much for listening and stay well.